Good evening. I am Randolph Barnwell, the Senior Elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. It's my joy and privilege to welcome all of you who have chosen to join us on this online broadcast teaching session. We have been dealing in recent times with a brand new impartational teaching series, which we termed Healing Principles. This was by the Lord's instruction in the light of so many sicknesses afoot rampant all across the earth, in particular the COVID-19 virus. There have been not just many sicknesses related to COVID, diseases of various kinds related to other viruses, etc., but also numerous deaths that have saddened our hearts, have left us with mourning, even though for many of the people who have been serving God, we know that they are in a better place, but yet we are pained within by sometimes the suddenness of their departure, the unexpectedness of their departure. And like many of you, I have been extremely saddened in recent weeks. Throughout my own COVID experience recovery, the Lord instructed me to start this series. And when the number of infections, and in particular the number of deaths, started to escalate with regularity, I then realized the urgency with which God wanted me to release this specific series. And so today I want to encourage you to open your hearts to receive not just the teaching, but the impartation for healing, which I believe you will receive this evening. Like I've said, this is the third part in this series. Tonight's focus is going to be on the compassion and the mercy of God. I want to focus on this specific unique quality in God that incites or motivates Him to heal. Within the current COVID-19 pandemic, a literal plague that is running rampant across the earth, what you and I need to appeal to God for is mercy, is compassion. I want to first briefly demonstrate from the scriptures how that God would heal because He is merciful, that God does heal because He is compassionate. And then towards the end of the broadcast, we are going to pray and cry to the Lord corporately for Him to intervene with urgent healing for some people that are sick unto death. Before we do that, I want to briefly give you an overview of the biblical meaning of compassion and mercy. Now, the two terms, compassion and mercy, in Scripture are often used synonymously or interchangeably. They are inextricably linked. Compassion feels and mercy acts. Whenever we reference compassion, specifically the compassion of God, we always refer to His intense feeling of pity for the plight of those who suffer. And then when we reference His mercy, mercy is compassion in action. Mercy is not just compassionate, but mercy acts to relieve the suffering that the compassionate individual feels. And this evening, I know by God's leading, the Lord has asked me to remind all of you how deeply compassionate and intensely merciful He really is. Now, the Greek word for compassion is splankizomai, and it literally means to feel sympathy, to pity. So when we feel sympathy, to sympathize with someone indicates that we understand the degree of suffering, and simultaneously we feel a sense of sorrow for the person. The word also means to feel deeply or viscerally, to yearn. And it specifically means to be moved in the inward parts or within one's bowels. If then you look at the Greek word for mercy, which is eleos, literally translated means compassion, and specifically active pity. So where the Greek word for compassion means pity, to feel sorrow for, the Greek word for mercy indicates active pity. Hence I said to you, compassion feels, but mercy acts. The word mercy also means kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and afflicted, joined with a desire to help. Again, I want to remind you that the mercy of God is actually His compassion enacted. Mercy is action to express a compassionate heart. And it is common knowledge for many of us who know the Lord how intensely merciful and compassionate God is, particularly towards His sons. In Psalm 119 and verse 165, "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments." I want to read the text again. Please listen with discerning ears and receive this impartation of the nature of God as not just merciful, but these mercies are tender. "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments." Interestingly, the Hebrew word for tender year is rakam, which literally translated means womb or the inward parts. Strong's Dictionary of Hebrew and Greek Words translates this word as cherishing for the fetus. Cherishing for the fetus. As intensely as a newly pregnant woman feels for a developing fetus, and as connected as she does feel towards that developing fetus in her womb, so does God feel compassionately and mercifully towards those that are suffering, particularly His son. A mother is connected to her developing baby. The Lord is intensely connected. And it's not just the fact that we are His sons. There's connectivity. There's intense inward emotion. There's deep feeling that God has towards someone to whom He is feeling compassionately for, and by the act of His mercy seeks to engage in relieving activity to relieve the misery, the pain, and or the suffering of the Lord. Tonight, if you are seriously ill, particularly from COVID-19 or any other disease that you can name, I am here tonight to declare to you that God's disposition towards you tonight is one of intense compassion, one of intense feeling. And He seeks to act on your behalf to express mercy to you. And this is going to manifest itself by healing you of your sickness, by healing you of your disease. Because God is not, He does not derive pleasure from your suffering. And He wants to act to relieve you of the sorrow, the grief that you might be feeling associated with your sickness. God is a feeling God. In fact, the Lord Jesus is our high priest. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15a, it says the following: For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Notice in this text, Jesus is touched with our feelings whenever we are infirmed in any way. Jesus is not disconnected. God is not insensitive. He does not stand aloof and unfeeling towards our plight. I'm here to remind someone, exactly what you feel, God feels. Exactly the misery that attends your sickness, Jesus, your high priest, feels what you are feeling. In fact, he does not just sympathize, he empathizes with you. When somebody sympathizes with another, they feel for the sorrow of the other. But when one empathizes, one actually feels the sorrow. And that's the impression I'm getting this evening, that the Lord empathizes so intensely with your plight that he right now wants to act to relieve you of a degree of suffering. The same text in the NASB says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness." Like I said, this sympathy of the Lord is actually empathy. In all points, as we are tempted and will suffer, the Lord Jesus did. And he was 100% man, although being fully God. And in every respect, no matter what level of human suffering, trauma, or malady humanity might experience, the scripture says concerning Jesus, in every respect, he suffered likewise. And so he's able to identify with you. I'm here to remind you this evening that God does not stand apart from you. I'm here to remind someone, because some of you have begun to believe the lie that God has forgotten you, that God is disinterested in you contending with a degree of suffering, pain, or sorrow, or grief attached to your illness. No, the Lord feels intensely on your behalf. And you know, because of this, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, in the very next verse, the writer of the book of Hebrews encourages us with these words. Therefore, in other words, in the light of his intense feeling for our infirmities, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you look at the text on your screen, notice God's throne denotes governmental rule. A throne depicts rulership and governmental strength. That throne is described by the word grace. God's throne is a throne of grace, to which you and I are encouraged to draw near with confidence, so that two things might happen. You will receive mercy and you will find grace to help in time of need. Now, I know in the current prevailing conditions globally, in the light of the current COVID-19 pandemic, if there's ever a time of need, it is now. This epoch, this era, this season is a time of desperate need. And what we all need in a time of need is something called grace to help. This text says there's grace to help in a time of need. The Bible clearly describes God as a God of help. The Bible calls him a very present help in the time of trouble. The mercy of God could be understood as the first expression or application of the grace of God. The grace of God will forgive you of your sin. The mercy of God will relieve you of the direct consequences associated with your sin, so that you could be at peace, which I explained last week. So Paul would start some of his epistles by saying, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God wants you in a place of peace, because in peace, His healing and health can flow effortlessly, efficaciously toward you. Right now, I believe you need to draw near to the governmental strong throne described as grace. And two things are going to happen. It says you will receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Now, I want to demonstrate from the scriptures the connection between mercy, which is an expression of grace that you need in a time of need, the connection between mercy and your healing. Now, David connected the two in Psalm 6 and verse 2. He said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are trouble." So here in this verse, David equates his cry for mercy with a cry for healing. David knows that God's going to heal him because God's going to be merciful. And like never before in recent days, I've been crying out to God to be compassionate, to be merciful. If there's some dynamic that we all need in the current climate, is the mercy of God, which is His compassion in action. And remember always, mercy always acts to relieve the plight of suffering or conditions associated with sin. You know, sickness is a product of sin generally in the world. The world is full of sickness because the world has a sin problem. And if ever, while we are sons of God, do not sin willfully and deliberately, yet we live within an environment beset by sin, where sickness and disease runs rampant, we are praying to God that as God deals judgmentally with the earth, with the world, with the church, that as He does so, based upon His wisdom and sovereignty, that God simultaneously would be merciful, because we know from the scriptures that His mercy triumphs over His judgment. So as you continue listening, may your heart be joined with mine as we sit in humility, in repentance before the Lord, with a contrite and a humble spirit, with no arrogance, no pride. And we cry to God and we say, God, remember us. God, be merciful to us. I want to share with you a few examples from the scripture where God healed people for no other reason except for the fact that He was compassionate and merciful. The first example is a particular leper. In Mark chapter 1, from verse 40 to 42, it says, "A leper came to Jesus, beseeching Him and falling on his knees before Him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Notice verse 41, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." This specific leper was healed for one reason only: that Christ inwardly in his bowels felt the degree of suffering that this leper felt. And he was moved inwardly in his bowels, feeling intently for the misery of the leper. And the scripture says, "Stretched out his hand, touched him, and healed him immediately." The word for moved here, when it says Jesus was moved with compassion, in the Greek is the word spero, which literally means to sow or to scatter seed. And I want to encourage you all I have this prophetic picture in my mind, if you would, that as we're going to activate by prayer, by a cry for mercy and compassion, that God, like a sower in the field sowing seed, that God is going to sow compassion. The seeds of compassion and mercy are going to reach your illness. And the seed of compassion is going to generate a harvest of healing. Biblically, we know that one of the symbols of seed is God's word. In the parable of the sower, the seed is likened unto the word. And in the scripture, God says that he will send his word, and his word will heal you. And we are praying intently that the field of your heart, the field of your body compromised by sickness and disease, will receive the seed of compassion, and that a harvest of healing will come forth in the name of Jesus. A second example in Matthew 20 and verse 34 are two blind men that get healed. The scripture says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and they followed him." Similarly, here to the healing of the leper, Jesus is internally moved with compassion. And these blind men receive their sight by the touch of Christ. I want to remind you of the Greek word used for touch, dear. It's haptomai, which literally means to apply oneself to or to touch, and refers to handling of such an object so as to exert a modifying influence upon it or upon oneself. So get this picture in your mind. The compassion of Christ, sown as a seed, is going to generate a harvest of healing in your body simply because this touch of the compassion of Christ in you, by virtue of the Greek word for moved with compassion, is going to generate a modifying influence on your body in the name of Jesus. Even as I speak right now, your body is being modified toward healing. Your body is being transformed from your sick state into a healed and whole state in Jesus' mighty name. A third example is the healing of the demoniac of Gadara, or as the NASB, the demoniac of the Gerasene. This specific man had a legion of demons. This could be a minimum of at least 3,000 or more demons in one man. The name of the demons collectively, in reference to the expression as one entity, is called legion. And legion does indicate at least 3,000 or more. He was so demon-possessed that he lived in tombs. He lived in the graveyard. And what this man did repetitively, he would gash himself, his body, with stones. Several times, numerous men could not restrain him. Jesus came into this town where he was, among the tombs, and Jesus delivers him from his demonic possession. The man is completely delivered and in his right mind. Great deliverance, great healing in a sense. And in Mark chapter 5 from verse 18 onwards, we read the following. "As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but said to him, 'Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy.'" The King James says, "how he had compassion on you." "And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. This specific man wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus says, no, don't follow me, but you go to your home and tell everyone of the mercy and the compassion of God upon your life. Notice the connection. The man was delivered from extreme demonic possession for one reason only. God was merciful to him and God was compassionate towards him. And Jesus says, go to your home and declare, proclaim, and testify to the extreme levels of mercy and compassion that you have received. For some who are sick that might be listening to me tonight, I say to you prophetically, you are going to have a testimony. You're going to have a witness to many people in your hometown just how merciful and how compassionate God has been to you. Notice here, once healed, the focus is not on the one healed. The focus is on the healer. Jesus said to the man, you declare my mercy. You declare my compassion. I see in many people that are healed, lose their humility, become filled with pride. And when even when they testify, do so with wrong motivation to bring attention to themselves and not to glorify God. I want to encourage all of us, maintain your humility. Give glory to God consistently. This man, the scripture says in verse 20, he went away to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. You can see on your screen the 10 cities that represented Decapolis. Decapolis was a Roman region of 10 cities. On your screen, you will see 9 of them to the east of the Jordan and just one of them to the west, and they are all in black on your screen. Now look at the screen and see the vastness of the area, of the testimony of this man that had reached. And I say to you, think about it like this. This man was living in graveyards. He was living in amongst tombs. He was living in a death environment. And God transforms him from an environment of death into a huge sphere of ministry where Jesus sent him to proclaim widely the compassion and the mercy of God. I say to some of you, for whom this might be applicable this evening, God is going to heal you from the misery of your death environment. Because some of you are sick unto death. And death looms and death lurks. You are in the valley of the shadow of death. I encourage you, fear no evil. Because God's mercy is going to change your conditions. And I believe the compassion of God, as it heals you, is going to lead you into an extremely broad sphere of ministry, of testimony of the goodness of the Lord, such that as people were amazed by the compassion and mercy of God based on this man's healing, I believe God is going to use your present condition for His glory to witness to many people. And I believe that many people will then believe on the Lord, come to the Lord, and give their hearts to Jesus. For some of you, your current sickness is going to be used as an evangelistic tool to give glory to God as a testimony of just how good He is. And many people are going to be amazed at the goodness of God, and this will actually open their hearts to receive from the Lord. In John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. This man born blind was only born blind, not because he sinned or his parents sinned. Jesus said his blindness was God ordained simply for the express purpose that the works of God could be expressed and displayed in him. For some of you sick and some of you severely ill, God's going to heal you in the name of Jesus. But God has permitted this simply so that his works, his mighty works, could be displayed in you. And this will open the hearts of many towards the Lord in the name of Jesus. As you position your mind towards your healing, don't be beset by discouragement, by negativity, by depression, by grief, or by sorrow. Right now, I ask you in the name of Jesus to set your sights on the outcome. Set your sights on the glory to be revealed in and through your sickness by virtue of how the Lord will use this as a great testimony in his hand. I love the example of Hezekiah, and for me this is an example of healing by virtue of God's mercy. 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 11. In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember me, O Lord, I beseech you, how I walk before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, listen carefully, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you will go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city for my own sake, for the sake and for my servant David's sake. Then Isaiah said, take a cake of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah is suffering a mortal illness. A prophecy from Isaiah goes out to him and says, you're going to die soon, so set your house in order. He weeps bitterly and turning his face to the wall. And the turning of the face to the wall speaks of an intensity, a fervency, a focusedness in his prayer. He's just had a prophecy, he's about to die, and he must set his affairs in order. He turns to God and in desperate cry says to God, remember me, how I walked before you in truth. And before Isaiah left the court, God speaks to the prophet to return, to re-prophesy to Hezekiah, to say, I've heard your prayer. I want to read this text again, and I want to read it prophetically. And if you are listening to me and this is applicable to you, your heart is open, you have the faith to receive it, then receive it in Jesus' name as a word from God to you. I sense for some of you, God is lengthening your life. You should have died, but God is going to increase the length of your days. Verse 5, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you in the name of Jesus. Hezekiah is given 15 more years by the Lord. The number 15 is 5 times 3. 5 is the number of grace, and the number 3 denotes that which is complete, substantial, full, and entire. So the number 15 could represent amplified grace, or it could represent a completion of grace. I say to some of you listening to me, please listen carefully. The grace of God has not completed its work in your life yet. The Lord says to you tonight, I want a completed work of grace in you, and I'm going to extend your life as an expression of my desire for my grace to have its completed work within your life in the name of Jesus. And like I said, mercy is the first application of the grace of God. I pray an impartation of grace to help in time of your need right now in the name of Jesus. I impart the grace of life that arrests the intent of death in your body, in the name of Jesus, and I declare to you, be healed in Jesus' name. When he recovered, Hezekiah prays this prayer. This account is also recorded in Isaiah 38. And there, in verse 16, he prays, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. O, restore me to health, and let me live. Repeat that with me. Oh, restore me to health, and let me live. In Psalm 102, verse 24, the psalmist cries out and says, I say, oh my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout the generations. This might be your cry to God. Oh God, lengthen my life. You might be at death's door and your prayer is, God, give me years. Do not snatch me out in the midst of my years. I pray that God would answer that prayer in the name of Jesus. You know, if you read Isaiah 38, the entire chapter, which I would encourage you to do, to see the content of Hezekiah's prayer after the Lord heals him. Part of what he prayed is this in verse 19. He said, it is the living who give thanks to you, as I do. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. Hezekiah says, by virtue of how I went so close to death's door and God has delivered me, he says, I as a father am going to declare the faithfulness of God to my sons. Sons represent the next generation. You know, this current generation needs to have its own set of authentic miracles as a witness and a testimony, not just to the fact that God is merciful, He's kind, He's gracious, but also as a record that this generation has known the miraculous intervention of God that arrested sickness and disease and even saved some from premature death. A father tells his sons of his faithfulness. And I pray this prayer of mine be your prayer, that God, we say to the Lord, it is the living who gives thanks to you. Dead people cannot thank you. Dead people cannot praise you. Everything that has breath must praise the Lord. It is the living that gives thanks and praises you, O God. And then he says, give us this life so that as fathers, we might have a story to tell to the next generation. So our generation will have a point of reference that is subjective, that is close, that is proximate of the divine intervention of God in scenarios and in contexts that should have spelled death, But the divine grace, mercy of God intervened and God saved us. This has to be our testimony. Another example is the healing of Epaphroditus. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25 to 30, Paul writes and he says, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is your messenger and minister to my need." Epaphroditus was sent with financial offerings and other material offerings as ministerial support by the Philippian church to the hands of Paul. So Paul describes him as a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier. And he says to the Philippians, your messenger and a minister, one who ministers to my needs. In verse 26, because he was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, notice, to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you will rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Here Epaphroditus comes close to death out of his zeal for fulfilling the will of God, particularly in his heart disposition to be a strong expression of support to the apostolic ministry and endeavors associated with the Apostle Paul. And God says that his healing, or rather Paul says his healing, equated to an expression of mercy, not only on him, but on Paul as well. Now, Paul obviously loves Epaphroditus, and I believe Paul would have also prayed for him. And Paul's prayer was this: God, spare him, save him, heal him, save him from death as an act of your mercy, not just for his sake, but for those of us who love him, like myself. And I want to encourage you today. I sense tonight that the mercy of God is going to be expressed and heal some, not just for saving them too, but God wants to save the surviving persons, the survivors, those who love the person that is sick, from unnecessary sorrow. And so we appeal to God for his mercy for these things. And you know, this man Epaphroditus made personal sacrifices for the advances of the apostolic mandate associated with Paul, risking his life. And then Paul says to him, hold such men in high esteem. Servants of God, pastors, spiritual fathers, fivefold ascension gift ministers, in the current environment, face serious risks in their expression of their duties towards those that they love. Many servants of God have died in recent times, and this has greatly saddened my own heart and spirit. Servants of God take great risks to fulfill mandates of God associated with them, and also by virtue of how they love the people under their oversight. I want to encourage all of you to really esteem your leaders at a new level and to love them dearly, particularly those that are authentic, those with only one single motivation, to represent Father God to you and to dispense his grace by the ministry of the word of the Lord to you. Spend time daily praying for these frontline workers. You know, a servant of God takes many years to process by God over a period of time for God to make that person what He wants them to be. When a grace carrier, when a pastor, when an ascension gift minister dies, it is a serious loss to the earth. Many of you have known success or overcoming or breakthrough in your lives simply because you've received truth by the ministry of God's word through these persons. You take those persons out of the earth at the rate at which many are passing away in the current time, then the earth is at a loss. I know God will always raise up others, but we must seriously pray that God protects His servants in the current environment. You know, sixthly, when Job was healed of his boils, when Job's material prosperity was restored, when he was restored with numerous children, James describes that whole scenario like this, James 5 verse 10. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. And I want to encourage you to endure in your sickness. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The entirety of Job's restoration is described as an outcome of the Lord. And this outcome of the Lord is further more definitively explained in one phrase. It's on your screen. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. I want you to, where you're viewing from, to say this aloud with me. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. I want to encourage you, God's going to heal you, to demonstrate one truth. God's going to restore you, even if you've lost particular things. Position yourself for the restoration of God, because God wants to demonstrate one thing and one thing only. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. In closing, I want to read a very well-known portion, Lamentations 3, verse 19. Remember my affliction and my roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope, and may you have hope tonight. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. Might I remind you, God has fresh mercy. The word for in the Hebrew, where it says new mercy, simply means fresh. God has new mercies for every single day. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning, and His faithfulness is great. Today, God has new mercies for you. Today, God has new compassion. Today, God wants to demonstrate His faithfulness toward you. Join me in prayer now. Lift up your hands, open your heart. Let's humbly come before the Lord as we pray. Loving Father, full of mercy and compassion, Your mercy reaches toward the skies. Your mercy flows from one generation to the next. Great is Your faithfulness, O God, our Father. We lift up our hands to bless You. I lift up my hands to acknowledge your compassion. I lift up my hands to acknowledge your mercy. The Lord is good, and his loving kindness is never ending. Your loving kindness, which is your mercy, is better than life itself. And if it's better than life, it can bring life. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that you would exercise, you would express your compassion. You would enact your mercy towards those that are sick unto death. God, you did it for Job. You did it for David. You did it for lepers. You did it for blind men. You did it for that demoniac in Gadara. You did it for Epaphroditus. Father, you did it for Hezekiah. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you do it for us tonight in the name of Jesus. And this will be our testimony when your healing becomes complete. And for some of us, this will be immediate. Like the leper, like the blind men were healed with immediacy. I decree, I declare an immediate healing. I declare to some, take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, O God, like that demoniac went to Decapolis, a vast area of witness and ministry. I decree that the wave of healings that will come forth in the current season will generate vast territories that will receive the words of the Lord, that will know the truth of the nature of God as intensely merciful, deeply compassionate. We vow to glorify you. We promise that you would receive honor, glory, and power, for this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.